It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In June, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on the Defense of Marriage Act said that the federal government must recognize same-sex marriages from states that allow them. Since that decision, couples in states which do not recognize same-sex marriages have filed several lawsuits, including here in Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, last week, Representative Brian Sims, the state's first openly gay man elected to the Pennsylvania legislature, introduced a same-sex marriage bill in the state House of Representatives. Whether it's achieved through the courts or the legislature, if the state's gay marriage ban is overturned, there is a catch-22 facing gay couples in parts of the state where anti-discrimination ordinances have not incorporated language protecting against individuals against discrimination based on their sexual orientation. I'm joined now in Studio A by State Reps Brian Sims and Aaron Mulchaney. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Brian Sims, Pennsylvania remains the only state in the Northeast which does not yet allow same-sex partnerships. With all that is going on, does it seem inevitable to you that we will have same-sex marriage in Pennsylvania?
You know, not only does it seem inevitable to me, it seems inevitable to opponents of marriage equality as well. One of the things that we know from polling opponents of equality is that they recognize that we've reached a point in U.S. history where marriage equality is inevitable. You mentioned the press conference that we had last Thursday where I introduced the Pennsylvania Marriage Equality Act. And what I said afterward to the press is that make no mistake about it, this will become law. Pennsylvania will have marriage equality. The larger question, obviously, is when and under what conditions. But I have zero doubt. I'm a civil rights attorney and now a legislator. I have zero doubt that Pennsylvania will ultimately have marriage equality.
So then in anticipation of that milestone, you and Aaron are in Pittsburgh to advocate for a statewide ban on discrimination based on sexual orientation. We do have protection for people based on sexual orientation against discrimination based on sexual orientation in Pittsburgh, in Allegheny County. So why make this push, especially given that most of your constituent areas already have anti-discrimination ordinances?
Well, my first question would be who then should be discriminated against and who should not be discriminated against? You know, right now there are 67 counties in Pennsylvania and 33 municipalities that have LGBT inclusive non-discrimination laws. But I'm a sitting state legislator. And when I leave my district, when I leave Philadelphia and go out into a number of places in this state, I can literally be kicked out of the hotel that I'm staying at. In 70% of this state, I can be at a hearing with one of my colleagues, and afterward we can all go out to a restaurant, and I can be talking about the conversation you and I are having right now, and the owner of that establishment can ask me to leave. That's why. You know, this is there are 26 Fortune 500 companies in Pennsylvania. Every single one of them has an LGBT inclusive non-discrimination clause. Pennsylvania, it is an enigma that we do not. We're the largest state in the country, or we're the state in the country that has the most municipal non-discrimination clauses without having a statewide clause. And it's time we caught up.
Aaron Mulchaney, this is a situation which can be problematic especially if, for example, gay marriage becomes legal in Pennsylvania and these ordinances that do not protect LGBTQ people, if they are not struck down, what sort of scenarios does that create?
Well, you know, Paul, it creates a dynamic where we have marriage equality in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But as Brian mentioned, someone can be discriminated against if they are LGBTQ in regards to housing, employment, you know. So while marriage equality might happen, we may find ourselves in a place where even though you are recognized, you know, in the Commonwealth as married, you can still be discriminated against by your employer, by, you know, your landlord. You know, we really need to get the non-discrimination piece in place as well and sooner rather than later, which is why passage of House Bill 300 is so critical. Because we don't want to find ourselves in a place where we are equal but still not equal as citizens.
And so there are a number of other states that have a statewide ordinance. I can recall living in Iowa during a time when it was going from city to city, and then finally the state, it became a moot point because the state just said this is going to be the state law. We don't have that in Pennsylvania.
No.
So is it almost like a don't ask, don't tell, where if people don't know that you're gay, you're less likely to be discriminated against? But if, say, for example, once marriage becomes legal for gay couples in Pennsylvania, does that then create a situation where if you're, say, for example, your marriage notice is in the newspaper, then all of a sudden you become a target for discrimination?
Absolutely. Imagine that scenario where someone spends their weekend, they married the person that they've loved, they've been with for 10 years, they come into work that next day and they put up their wedding photo on their desk and they're called in by management and they're fired because of it. And what's important here is that, you know, Pennsylvania doesn't protect, you know, every state that we touch except for Ohio and West Virginia protects its LGBT citizens, and all states protect certain types of people from certain types of discrimination. In Pennsylvania, you are protected because of your race, your religion, your nationality, a disability, but you are not protected because of your sexual orientation. And what that also means is that someone can be fired for being straight in Pennsylvania. You know, and people don't often think about this, but the truth of the matter is, and again, in 70% of Pennsylvania, a woman could go marry her longtime boyfriend and come in and explain to her boss that, you know, she's now married and has a husband and could actually be fired for that as well. Now, that's obviously not as likely a scenario as what we see with people getting fired for being LGBT, but it sort of speaks to the inherent inequity of the whole thing.
So when we talk about protecting people under anti-discrimination ordinances based on their sexual orientation, it's not necessarily worded as homosexual orientation.
Exactly. It's real or perceived. And that, you know, we're talking about sexual orientation and gender identity, and that's really important to me. We are the LGBT community. But it's real or perceived. You know, the idea that a young boy who doesn't adhere to sort of traditional masculine gender norms is getting picked on, is getting bullied. That's the scenario that we're also talking about. It's not just to protect people that identify as LGBT. It's to protect people who are presumed to be LGBT and are discriminated against because of that.
And Aaron, we've been talking about a number of possible scenarios, but have you heard from any of your constituents in Western Pennsylvania who some specific examples of people who have been discriminated against in this way, who have come to you and said, "Hey, we need some help here"?
Well, you know, actually, anecdotally, I did hear recently from someone who said, "You know, I'm really so glad that you are a sponsor of House Bill 300 because I was discriminated against for moving into an apartment that was a one-bedroom apartment with my partner." And, you know, I just, you know, as an ally, it breaks my heart that anyone would feel discriminated against in our state. You know, there are so many wonderful people that live here and wonderful things going on in Pennsylvania. And I just feel so strongly that no one deserves to be discriminated against by the state. And we should provide for anyone that wants to live here and make it inclusive and make it a place where people want to come and work and live. So, you know, yes, I have heard from constituents that they've been discriminated against. So it's just really, really important that we get this legislation moving and passed.
We're talking about same-sex marriage in Pennsylvania, the prospects for that, and also trying to increase protection for people based on sexual orientation under the state's anti-discrimination ordinance. It is provided in the anti-discrimination ordinances, for example, here in Pittsburgh, but not statewide, and that's what our two guests are trying to push for. Brian Sims, who is a representative in the state legislature, along with Aaron Mulchaney. If you have a comment or question for our guests in the time we have left, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Brian, you've introduced the separate marriage equality bill to actively change the Defense of Marriage Act at the legislative level. Reports indicate that this legislation is not likely to move very far. So why push the bill if it's not likely to get passed?
Well, I'll give you a good example. HB 300 is actually a really good example. This is, I believe, the eighth year that HB 300 has been introduced. And when it was introduced 4 terms ago, it was not the wrong time to introduce it. It was the right time because it clearly needed some time to percolate through the legislature. And so, you know, with the Pennsylvania Marriage Equality Act, yes, I recognize that at the moment, not every member of the Pennsylvania House is going to support it. But I also know that support will grow the longer that the legislation is out there. You know, there are, I believe right now, five lawsuits in Pennsylvania seeking to overturn our mini DOMA to bring marriage equality to Pennsylvania. And I hope every one of them is successful. If they're not, and my bill is the way that marriage equality becomes the law of the land in Pennsylvania, so be it. But it's probably going to have, if that's the case, it's going to be slower than if it happens at the judicial level. And, you know, these are really solid cases. And what I'm hearing is that some of them could actually set the precedent at the U.S. Supreme Court to bring marriage equality to the entire country. I am very fond of telling people in civil rights, you are not allowed to be proprietary and you're not allowed to be patient. And we have been patient for way, way, way too long as our neighbors have progressed way beyond us. This legislation isn't innovative anymore. It's not progressive anymore. It's not forward thinking. It's playing catch up.
Is Pennsylvania ready for same-sex marriage?
Overwhelmingly. Oh, I have zero question. When we, you know, listen, when we poll on this and we poll across the state, Pennsylvanians are absolutely ready for marriage equality the way that the rest of the country is ready for marriage equality. You know, because we lack a lot of this legislation, it's easy to think somehow that we are different than the rest of the rest of the United States, different than the East Coast, and we're not. You know, unfortunately, there were, as more wins on the marriage equality front were happening in other places in the region, the people that were opposing marriage equality came here. You know, every state around us, for the most part, now has recognized some type of relationship recognition. So now we have the opponents here.
What is happening here that has prevented Pennsylvania from joining these other states?
I will tell you one, at least from my perspective, one issue is that we hadn't elected anybody who is openly LGBT before. No state that has ever enacted any type of LGBT relationship recognition did so without first having an out legislator. Now, Pennsylvania, let's be clear, has had LGBT legislators for all time, since the beginning of the legislature. But having somebody that's out there does have an impact in ways that are maybe less visible. For example, the LGBT Equality Caucus. We launched it last year. It's the caucus of pro-LGBT legislators. And last year it was 27 people. Now it's 60-something people. I think the political will was there before. But we weren't as able, quite frankly, to bring together all the actors, all the players in Harrisburg in the way that we're able to do now.
Aaron, before you let you respond there, I want to bring in a caller. We have Guy in Gibsonia who would like to join the conversation. Guy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, my question is basically, assuming marriage equality does become the law in Pennsylvania, as I think everyone believes that it will, won't the LGBT community be protected under federal law guarding against discrimination on the basis of marital status, as well as the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment?
It's a very smart question. And under certain scenarios, yes, I can see where that would happen. But keep in mind, if an LGBT person who, for example, I'm single, I don't have a fiance or a husband, and if I'm discriminated against, I'm not – right now there's not an ENDA. We don't have the Employee Non-Discrimination Act in place. And because I'm not married, I wouldn't be getting discriminated against because of my marital status. I would just be discriminated against for being LGBT.
You know, just
okay.
Okay, that answer your question, Guy?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the call. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I just was kind of wanted to circle back to your previous question, you know, what has changed now? And I think about how Representative Dan Frankel has been a tireless, tireless advocate for LGBT equality in the state of Pennsylvania for some time now. And, you know, as Brian mentioned, I think having openly LGBT members like Representative Sims, Representative Mike Fleck, and the allies who've been supportive all these years, you know, now we have this kind of united front. And, you know, we have this saying in politics, it's that if you are not at the table, you're probably on the menu. And, you know, we hear that a lot when it comes to women's issues. And I think that it's just another example of how being at the table and sitting next to your colleague who might not agree with you, it's a game changer. It changes the dynamic of the conversation. And Brian, just by virtue of being there and having that tenacity, is changing the conversation.
And Brian, I'm curious, with you being the state's first openly gay representative to be elected to office, what has your experience been like?
It's been wonderful. It really has been. I would I would tell you if there had been some negative stories, if I'd gotten negative feedback. But the truth is, it's been the exact opposite. You know, obviously, I've had my a notable dust up or two with the arch conservative members of the House, but that is completely different than the overall experience. I have found members on both sides of the aisle to be incredibly respectful. Because this isn't so foreign to them. Yes, they didn't have an LGBT colleague maybe sitting with them on the House floor before that was out. But, you know, every person in the United States knows somebody that's LGBT, works alongside somebody that's openly gay, has a family member that's openly gay. So I think what me being there gave people was the opportunity, you know, in the Capitol building – when people were talking about what they did over the weekend, when they were talking about their families or even legislation, they weren't having the conversation about LGBT people. And, you know, just being there, I know that I walk down a hall that a legislative assistant will turn to, you know, their coworker and say, hey, there goes that gay guy. And they'll say, well, you know, my cousin's gay. Well, I've worked with you for 30 years and I didn't know my cousin's gay too. You know, it sounds simple and it sounds kind of parochial, but in many ways it is. It was just a simple matter of exposure.
Let's become an education then for your colleagues in the legislature.
And for me, you know, I certainly don't agree with every one of my colleagues. I don't agree with every one of my Democratic colleagues. I will tell you, many of my Democratic colleagues disagree with me on women's rights, on reproductive rights, on certainly on LGBT civil rights. But that's what we're there for. If we all agreed on everything, we wouldn't have a need for a legislature. We are going to disagree. And it's in that disagreement where we are educated and hopefully come to better conclusions.
State Representatives Brian Sims and Aaron Mulchaney joining us here in studio on Essential Pittsburgh. I want to thank you both for being with us. It's been an enlightening conversation, and it will be interesting to see how things develop.
Thanks,
thank
Paul.
You.
Coming up, want to protect yourself from the government spying on you? There's an app for that. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.